There's no I in team, but there is one in Indeed, and that's the hiring platform that you need to build yours. When you're hiring, you need Indeed. Instead of spending hours on multiple job sites searching for candidates with the right skills, Indeed's a powerful hiring platform that can help you do it all. One of the things I love about Indeed is that it makes hiring all in one place so easy because Indeed does the hard work for you. They show you the candidates whose resumes on Indeed fit your description immediately after you post so you can hire faster. Join more than 3 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Start hiring now with a $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your job post at Indeed.com/BlueWire Sports. Offer good for a limited time. Claim your $75 credit now at Indeed.com/BlueWire Sports. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire Sports. And support the show by saying that you heard it on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire Sports. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
All right, everybody, before we get started with this episode of Benched with Bubba, if you love the strategy of season-long fantasy sports and live for the short-term gratifications of DFS, then you have to try out Weekly Fantasy Sports WFS on Owner's Box. Head on over to rotoballer.com/box and sign up today. Weekly Fantasy Sports is the best of daily and season-long. It keeps you engaged through live drafting and new multi-week games. Owner's Box will also be paying out users who bring their friends on board. Watch the real money rewards pile up through their first ever three-tiered referral system. Add friends, create groups, and rank up to elevate the trash talk and competition to the next level. But that's not it. Owner's Box will be matching your first-time deposit of up to $500 for any depositors through January 4th. Just head on over to www.rotoballer.com/box and sign up today to claim your $500 bonus and join the new wave of weekly fantasy sports. Now, to this episode of Benched with Bubba. And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Bench Bubba, episode 339. Going to get joined by a returning guest, a special guest to the show. You can find his draft kit all over the place right now at one of the best price points I've ever seen for a draft kit. You can find him on Twitter at SP Streamer. He is the one, the only, Michael Simeone. How are we doing, my friend?
Good. I think this is the third time I've been on your podcast.
Yep, you are. You are becoming one of the more frequent members, and love I thoroughly it. Enjoy that. So how you doing? Talk about your good old draft guide going out there.
Yeah, so we released our draft kit. You can find it in the shop on our website, spstreamer.com. It came out to be 160 pages, over 124,000 words. You get the rankings of every position, prospect rankings. We have a strategy section by Dave McDonald, which is like 50 pages. I did a section on a breakdown pitching, hitting, about streaming pitchers, obviously, did a little like sleeper section. And that was really it. I mean, we have some like underlying metrics under there in there too. So it's good. It's $4.50.
Yeah, it's really, really affordable. I say cheap, but that makes it sound bad because it's not a cheap product, but it's cheap when it comes to the price point. Like it's hard not to buy this, people. So jump on that, and you know, maybe we'll do a giveaway when this is all said and done. So let's have some fun with that. And I didn't put it on the outline, but I remember the last time you were on the show, you're working on your streaming metric, and it turned out to be pretty darn good, all things considered, in a shortened season last year. You've been busy with the draft kit, obviously, but do you foresee yourself tweaking that at all and more going into this season?
So the issue was like, cause last season was so short, so there wasn't a lot more data I could like add to it. You know what I mean? It was just 2 months. So I did try other metrics. Because this was actually the first year where I legitimately tracked every single streamer and what they did. So I just feel like it's not a big enough sample size. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I haven't really played with it too much. But I'm going to do that this entire upcoming season. I feel like after this next season, I could play with it a lot more. So not too much. I mean, I did discover, and I talked with Max Freeze about it a little bit too, that WOBA for home and away for teams isn't really relevant.
No.
So I don't really, I'm not really like, I mean, Colorado, they'll sway you a little bit and stuff, but like pretty much it's not where it's going to make such a big difference with these kinds of pitchers. You know what I mean?
Well, that's the biggest factor right there, these kinds of pictures. Yeah, because the guys you're streaming, they're not like the guys you're super, you know, concerned about throwing out there every day. So you're the matchup situations and everything, maybe not focused as much, like you're saying, on a WOBA or some other certain category. So that makes a lot of sense for sure. But it'll be fun to keep track of that because that was it's an awesome formula you put in there, and it was doing pretty darn good. Like I said, all things considered, because you're doing it, but these guys are going like four innings or some other silly thing where it's just making it kind of complicated to – make the whole thing work. But
yeah,
that was 2020 in a nutshell.
Yeah, exactly.
So let's get to some recent news. I only put the starting pitcher news on here to keep it kind of relevant. And I just want to get your opinion on some of these guys. You know, the Phillies, they've signed Chase Anderson. They've signed Matt Moore. They have just a slew of starting pitching options, which is, I guess, good for the Phillies. That's always been their bugaboo, their bullpen. And just pitching in general has been – it gets depleted quickly, and they're throwing Vince Velasquez, who I like a lot, but let's be real, that can get ugly at times. So right now, Nola, Wheeler, Eflin, those three are locked in. But then you got Vinny V, who should be locked in too, and there's a fifth spot. So what do you see with Matt Moore, Chase Anderson? Do you see any fantasy relevance between the two?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough. So Moore's coming from overseas, and I know he pitched pretty well over there, and he was always like a top prospect that didn't really pan out too much. But he has that really good elite changeup. You know, he's always kind of had it. And then on the other side, you have Chase Anderson, who's just kind of meh. You know, not a lot of strikeouts. He hasn't really ever been amazing. I think I don't know who it's gonna end up being. If I were to guess, I'd say Moore, but I feel like they might be coming in and out a little bit. And they're probably gonna end up utilizing both of them. I mean, I do know that this obviously kills Howard. I mean, I feel like they added these guys because they felt like bringing up Howard didn't work out last season and maybe it was too soon. You know, maybe they want to develop him a little more, and they kind of added these, you know, these veterans to just eat innings. And then, you know, just in case Howard doesn't really improve and they don't bring him up. I mean, I'm sure he'll come up eventually, but it might be later than we all think. So, between the two, I mean, if I had to take anyone, it'd be Moore, just because I really like that changeup.
No, I'm with you. Moore is a guy that, you know, wasn't too long ago where he was actually fantasy viable. So that's at least as like a streamer or a spot starter here and there that you still rostered. So I think he's an interesting option for sure. And it's a good point you make on Howard. I haven't heard that discussed a lot. It makes too much sense that it could be one of those, like, they start him in the minors, get some work in, bring him up midseason and let him roll for 100 innings or something. Because given the short year last year, obviously he's not stretched out to where they'd want him. So it definitely possible. And Matt Moore is going like way after pick 600 right now. So
yeah,
definitely a guy to monitor. Probably not drafted in redraft leagues, but someone to keep an eye on for sure. A guy that maybe gets drafted in redraft leagues, definitely gets drafted in draft and holds in best balls, is Chris Archer, who's returning to Tampa Bay. I actually have a few Chris Archer shares already because I just said super late. He's going to get signed somewhere. Didn't think it'd be Tampa Bay, but it works for me. And then he comes out and says no more two-seamers this year in his first press conference, which made me very happy to see. Now, a guy like yourself that knows more about that than I do, what's your thoughts on Chris Archer back in Tampa?
Yeah, that's huge. That sinker is absolutely brutal. so I like seeing that too. I liked him coming into 2020 because he had a little bit of a pitch mix change there in 2019 where he started going to the four-seam a little more. And I was hopeful, but then obviously, you know, he didn't play. And, you know, I purposely took out this little quote from Rotoballer. And I mean, it's a little worrisome. And it says, the hope is that he might be fully recovered by next spring, but this is the type of surgery that often comes with lingering issues and sometimes significant setbacks. So obviously there's a big injury risk there. But kind of like we're saying, he's going late. So he makes sense in like draft and holds for me, or like if you're in, you know, a 15 team or even a 12 team, you want to take a shot at him and being your like last pick on the on the bench, who you could just drop quickly anyway, that's more than fine with me. But I wouldn't take him expecting too much, just because while the Rays are pretty good at what they do, I think the injury risk kind of holds him back a little bit.
No, it makes a lot of sense. It's not the best situation injury-wise to come off of. And I guess there's two ways to look at it. Yes, like you said, take him late. Drafting Olds is really good. I guess this is one of the guys being on the Rays and the way they baby their pitchers could be a good thing. Like we might get the good innings out of him. We might get the good innings out of him, which I guess stinks if you're looking for innings eaters, because he's not going to be one for sure. But you might get four inning starts, five inning starts that are productive. So
I wonder if they use an opener for him.
Definitely could. That's another option with the Rays. So that's a way that he could be interesting. Like he could be, you know, we could be looking at a Yonny Chirinos from like 2 years ago or something with Chris Archer. So it could be interesting as well. Oakland A's, they re-signed Mike Fiers. I figured this was going to happen a long time ago. It made too much sense for Fiers to go back there. He's in line to be their fifth starter. The rotation actually looks pretty decent. Fiers is one of those guys that tilts a lot of people, but in the end, he's been viable from time to time every season. So what's your thoughts on Fiers going to draft time?
Yeah, I mean, the Athletics are good. They're kind of like the Rays. I feel like they always get the best out of their pitchers. For me personally, I'm probably not going to grab him just because you've got the low strikeout rate. You know, I mean, let's see, was it last year was 14%. So he's not going to get you that. I know he pitches for contact. But the ground ball rate has been diminishing year after year for the past several years too. And at this point, Andreas, I feel like you're going for upside. You know, you're not going to go with someone who's going to put up a 4-5 ERA with a 5K per nine. You know, it just doesn't make sense. You'd rather go with someone who has upside that could get a lot of strikeouts and potentially break out like a younger guy. So he doesn't really make much sense to me, you know, fantasy wise.
I'm looking forward to seeing you have him as your streamer like six times this year. It's going to be because he's going to fall into that category, pitching at home. Like he's going to have so many starts where it plugs out perfectly.
Yeah, I can totally see that in the right, you know, the right. I think I thought about him, or I maybe took him last year actually against, I'm looking at his game log quick. I think I took him against the Rangers, and he went six innings, 0 earned, 7K. So there you go.
Yeah, he does that once in a while just to get us excited, and then he realizes. And speaking of the Rangers, they made an interesting signing. It's a guy, Mike Foltynewicz, who many people have been hyped on in recent years, and then he just blew up this last year. The Braves just DFA'd him, didn't even give him a chance to go to the minors. Like, you're gone, see ya. And the Rangers just signed him, and right now they have him plugged into the five spot. We'll see. But, you know, like I said, it wasn't too long ago people liked the guy. Like, Vlad Sedler, very smart fantasy guy. He's talked about things that are wrong between his ears and stuff. Do you have any hope in a Mike Foltynewicz, or he's going to sit back and watch the parade, I guess, will take place?
Yeah, he's definitely a sit back and watch for me. Kind of like what you mentioned, they just straight up DFA'd him. And I feel like no one had interest in him for a reason. Like there's something really wrong there. Who knows what it is? These organizations are a lot smarter than any of us, so they probably know. I do like the slider. I just think, I don't know why he was throwing his, he started throwing his sinker more, and I don't understand that. I think he needs to get rid of that pitch and, more so go with the four seam, because the slider's been, the sinker's never really been good. I'd like to see that from him before I really even contemplate him at all. But yeah, I mean, just them flat out dumping him, it just is very worrisome. And I feel like, you know, the Rangers probably are just grabbing him out of desperation and hoping maybe they could squeeze something out of him, but he's not someone I'm actively seeking.
Yeah, I saw that move. I'm like, oh, okay, well, I guess if any team can do it, it's the Rangers, because what do they have to lose right now? But it's like, it's a scary situation that I'm probably in DFS can be like, yep, I'll take that team versus him. It's going to happen a lot.
Yeah.
The big move over the last recent weeks, obviously, was Trevor Bauer. He went full LeBron, made a video, his coming out party, and he's going to the Dodgers. And as a Giants fan, that makes me very angry, because the Dodgers keep spending money and money and money. They're the Yankees of the West. But yeah. It's a great landing spot. I can't knock that at all. What's your take on Bauer going to the Dodgers, and did he move anywhere in your rankings for you?
No, he didn't move anywhere for me. I mean, I'm a Mets fan, so the whole situation really sucked. just the way he did it. I mean, he claims he came on Twitter saying that, like, apologizing, saying that it wasn't him. It was someone who ran the website. They like did all separate merch, a couple of teams just in case, and it wasn't supposed to come out until he decided, because he legitimately didn't know where he was going the day he signed. I don't know. I'm kind of actually glad that he, I know this is terrible to say, but I'm kind of glad he didn't come to the Mets, because it would be so Met-like if we hired him and, I mean, signed him, and then he like went back to a 4 year, right? Like it just would happen to us, and it would make it a horrible signing for us. So, yeah, I mean, as a person, he's not the best for me. But in terms of fantasy, I think it's just a lateral movement. I mean, we knew it. I feel they're going to let him go. Just let him pitch however much he wants. I don't think they're going to hold him back. I mean, this does kill Dustin May and Gonsolin, though. So I'm not drafting them.
Okay, that's what I was going to ask next, because I can't draft him. I've been off of May anyways. Like I've always said, he's great for Alex Fast to GIF and stuff, but when it comes to, like, I want guys to strike guys out, and somehow he just doesn't do it. So it just makes it very difficult for me. But Gonsolin was a popular name in the fantasy community. So that's an interesting one. They still have Urias and Price back there. Do you think the Dodgers do what the Dodgers do best, and all of a sudden get these phantom ILs, and maybe Gonsolin is relevant still?
Yeah, 100%. Or maybe they piggyback Gonsolin with someone else. Maybe like if they want to give Urias a little break and maybe hold him the four innings, maybe they'll pair Gonsolin with him or May. They could do so many different things. I was talking with someone and they were worried about Justin Mason commented, because I said something about Buehler, and he's like, I'm really afraid of Buehler's innings. Like, he went 180 innings in 2019, but I was like, they have so much depth, more than 2019. And I just feel like they're going for a championship. They know they're going to make the playoffs. They want and need him in the playoffs. It makes nothing but sense for him and Kershaw to sit out a couple of starts here and there, or have a phantom IL here and there, just to rest them and make sure they're healthy. It just makes complete sense for them.
Yeah, no, it does. When you spell it out that way, I sit back and think about it. Okay, so yes, they will make the playoffs, and if they make the World Series, that's probably like 4 to 6 more starts for Buehler. And if he can just go, that's like maybe 7 innings a start. So you start calculating that out, that's 28 to 42 innings that they're going to want to try to save, type thing. So it makes it interesting, like you said. It's an embarrassment of riches, and when I start looking at the tweets about the salary and everything, it's annoying. But yeah, with over $100 million between 3 pitchers. let's go to the Angels, who they just keep adding what most say are mediocre pitchers. But hey, they're pros and I'm not. So they went and got Alex Cobb from the Baltimore Orioles. And Cobb's interesting, because those are like, pay attention to fantasy. He actually wasn't horrific recently. He's not the old like gas can we thought of. He's still not great. But going to Anaheim, do you have any interest in a guy like Alex Cobb?
Yeah, he's interesting. Kind of like you said, he's never been great, but he's never really been bad either. He's got that great splitter. The thing is, too, he has trouble staying healthy as well at times. But you know what it is? I think they really just grab him because they need someone to eat innings. They're going to go with that 6-man. You know, who the heck knows what happens with Otani? I know they're going to try and pitch him, but, if he's hurt, they're going to need someone else, someone there like a Cobb. And, he's age 33, though. No upside, really. Not someone I'm really looking at personally. I'd rather go upside. I probably won't look at him except maybe a DC or two.
Yeah, he's going around pick 577, so it's not like you're having to spend a lot for him. So, like, you look at roster resource, not the end-all, be-all, but you have Heaney, Bundy, Quintana, Cobb, Canny, Otani's still there. We know Barria's close by, so there's options galore. You mentioned the 6-man rotation. We know the Padres have talked about it because your boy Lamet, Doug's boy Lamet, I apologize.
Yeah.
Seattle's talked about it. There's going to be a handful of teams that do it. these teams that mention six-man rotations, how does that affect you going into the draft room? Because, like, we love Dylan Bundy, but now he's in a six-man rotation. So what are we doing?
Yeah, it's weird and tough. Because there is a counterpoint to that, which is interesting, and someone brought up to me, and I saw it in my own research too. Because if it was a shorter season, so it might be a little different for a long season. But if you look at last year, the Mariners had a six-man rotation. But because of that, I felt like since their guys were, you know, had more rest, they were able to let them go deeper into games too. So it kind of counteracts that. And if you look at it, like, I think Marco Gonzalez is up there in innings pitch last year. And that was because, yes, he wasn't pitching every 5 days, but because they were letting him go deep in the game. So I don't know if that's necessarily what the Angels will do, though. I would say it hurts them slightly. Personally, I'd be a little afraid, especially because we haven't seen the Angels really do it. I know they've tried to, but then Ohtani was hurt, so it never really kind of happened too much. But, yeah, it's a little worrisome. A little. If you lose a couple starts because of that, it could hurt their value.
Well, it's an interesting thing you mentioned because, say they get that extra day rest, so they go 7 or 8 more often than not instead of 5. Then you start doing that, and it basically comes out to a couple extra starts almost, and it evens out. So it's an interesting way to look at it for sure. Quality and over quantity maybe is another angle there. All right, let's talk Boston Red Sox. Last one here. They picked up Garrett Richards to a 1-year deal. A guy that everyone wants to have hope for, but then they also realize he can't stay healthy. So what's your take on Garrett Richards, another guy you can get super late in drafts, and the Red Sox have no reason not to throw him as much as possible?
Yeah, it's a 1-year deal. Yeah, so they're going to let him just go. Yeah, I mean, you mentioned it. He's kind of like made of glass, always injured. I mean, look at him. He's pitched, let's say real quick, sorry. I mean, since 2016, he only has 198 innings. So you're looking That's at five good. Seasons and he has 198 innings. I know one of them, he only had 8. But, it's not great. But he's good. I mean, when he's on the mound, he pitches well. He's got a good arsenal. I think he's worth it. I mean, you're going to get him for free. And if he just happens to put together that one season where he stays healthy and gives you, you know, a 4 to high 3 ERA, it'll be well worth it.
Yeah, it's an intriguing move. I got guys like Eovaldi who can't stay healthy on that team, but I love him. So it's just they have a lot of nice toys there, just toys that get broken.
Pavetta.
So it's Pavetta. They got Erod, who I love, but who knows what condition he's in.
Like, yeah.
It's an interesting situation there in Boston. Talking interesting situations, Eno Saris came out with an article this week, and I just want, like, there's so much more that applies to go into it, but between, like, Max Freeze's posted stuff and all these guys that can get into physics and everything way past my pay grade, but the deadening of the baseball, and I think it's funny because it basically admits that the ball was juiced, but they didn't say it was juiced, so they're having to deaden it, which is really funny. But what's your takes on that? Because, like, we really don't know. You read the article. And it was like you said, 5% maybe.
Right.
How are you approaching that with your starting pitchers now?
I mean, I'm trying not to take it too much into account. I feel like you can't. You just really don't know. I mean, if it does decrease home runs by 5%, I mean, that helps fly ball pitchers who tend to let up home runs like a Matt Boyd, you know? But I don't want to just gamble with it. I don't know. Which is crazy. I think I heard they're not even going to use it in spring training.
Yeah, I heard.
I think they're just going to start it in the regular season. Like, okay, that doesn't help us at all. So, I mean, I'm not really, you know, maybe I'll move someone like a spot or two, but I'm not really going to put too much into it because we truly don't know. Who the heck knows?
we won't know
until we're halfway through the season. You know what I mean?
Exactly. And then it'll be Captain Hindsight everywhere.
Well,
the other thing I think was interesting in that article is there's going to be a few more teams putting humidors in. And, like, last year it was, like, Boston, like, these random teams put them in. We didn't even know about it until halfway through the season. The Mets. It's like, what I want to know is why don't they just put them in every stadium, but you could change the settings so that in the end they all equal out the same and we're playing with the same setup. But I don't know. It's weird that it's, like, each year. It's weird just, like, each year we just add a certain amount. So – that's a pain.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. I mean, that'd be ideal. I just, maybe it's impossible to do. Who the hell knows?
With these teams, it's very impossible to do. So we'll see where that goes. But what we're going to talk about next is we're going to look at ADP in the top 150 from NFBC Draft Champions since January 12th. So it's a mouthful for people, but that's what we're doing here. And we're going to compare pitchers that are going close together that could be up for debate come draft time. And I'm just going to get your thoughts on this because we've done some drafts together. You've done a bunch of drafts already. Before we do that, per se, you've done Draft Champions. You're doing the NFBC 50s. You've done Best Balls. What's kind of the trends you're seeing pitching-wise that stood out to you?
Oh, they're all getting pushed up. Doesn't matter format. Yeah. It's I mean, especially we did a Battle of the Pods, and that was insanity. There were so many pitchers off the board. They're all getting pushed up. I mean, it's the right way to go about it because personally, when you look, you know, I keep saying to people, when I look at the landscape, at least I feel like it makes sense to take pitching early because in the middle rounds it gets kind of crappy, and then you know, you want to take hitters in those middle rounds because I feel like there's so much value there. And then later on, you could take some more pitchers. So that's just how I'm approaching it personally. And I feel like a lot of people are trending that way as well.
Yeah, it definitely is. I kind of want to do one like NFBC 50 or something and just don't pick a pitcher for like five rounds.
And see what happens.
Because there are so many bats that just kind of keep dropping. But you look at the pitchers that are there like in round five and six, you're just like, oh, like this is not good.
Exactly.
So it's tough to stomach, but let's talk about some of these early pitchers that are getting pushed up, and most of them rightfully so. We know the big three. Those are the big three. That's pretty simple. We'll start with the next two here. You got Lucas Giolito and Yu Darvish. Giolito around pick 15, Darvish around pick 16. Now, Giolito, I think, could take that next step to being one of the big three type guys next year as he continues his pitch mix change. He just came out and said now he's working on his curveball again. Then Yu Darvish, who's been phenomenal, comes over to the Padres. He's older, though, so there's concerns there. How do you go between Giolito and Darvish?
So I know Toby loves Darvish here, but I'm actually against them. I prefer Giolito. I love the fastball changeup combination he has. It's just so elite. I mean, and the strikeout rate is insane. His command is just there. He knows what he's doing, knows how to handle his stuff. I just think he's in full control, and he's fine. And I think we've yet to see the best of him, kind of like what you just said. And then as far as Darvish, you know, I think he's great, but the injury history is still there. I know it's about a season now where he's been healthy, but I still can't, you know, I can't just ignore that personally. Mm-hmm. And what worries me too is, you know, if you get injured, if a pitcher gets even like a minor injury and they're trying to pitch through it, it could throw off mechanics. So what if he has a minor injury, tries to pitch through it, and then that walk rate comes back up, and then he just goes back to a 4 ERA pitcher? I just think there's too much risk where he's going. I think he could have, again, another phenomenal season. His stuff is ridiculous, has the deepest arsenal in the league. But I just think based on the ADP, he's just way too risky for me. I want my first pitcher to be someone that's going to be completely healthy with minimal questions.
Yeah, it's tough with Darvish. I absolutely love Darvish, but I echo like everything you said that concerns me with him. So that's why I take Giolito. I've like looked. I think I even took Luis Castillo over him one time, which will make you happy. Like this isn't on the outline, but just quickly, if you had to come down to it, I know we talked about Buehler potentially being lower innings. Would you still take Buehler over Darvish, or would that be kind of a differentiating factor?
Oh man, that's tough because I'm not taking either of them. I guess I would lean Buehler.
Yeah, it's like Darvish healthy gets more innings, but Buehler, we know his innings might be better. Like that's a tough one.
Yeah,
really,
and like I know. And if it wasn't for the Dodgers, I mean, I love Buehler. I feel like I think he could be a top two pitcher. It's just you know, it's just a matter of I'm afraid of them holding back. I hope they don't hold him back. I hope we see Buehler hit 200 innings, and then there's no question moving forward. I would love nothing more than that because I would take him every year.
I'm with you because after 2019, before COVID hit, we're doing preview shows last year. One of my bold predictions was Buehler's going to win the Cy Young and he'll be like the top one or two pitcher going to 2020 or 2021. Yeah. And then, you know, obviously things happened. Yeah. But he's so good. So good. And again, being a Giants fan is tough. I say it all the time. Like, I hate the Dodgers, but like, I respect Kershaw. how do you not like Bellinger? You have Betts. Like, all these guys are fun to watch. It sucks.
Yeah, but you have to appreciate them.
It just ruins it for me. But let's go to Max Scherzer, the ancient one with the back problems that when he pitches is still elite, but he's got a lot of question marks going on pick 27. And you have Jack Flaherty coming off a year where I kind of just mark off the Cardinals as COVID just screwed the whole thing up. But we, you know, he still had his ups and downs. He's going to pick 28. So I'm right next to each other here. Where do you go with Scherzer and Flaherty?
I'm going to lean Flaherty here. And it's just because, you know, we all know Scherzer's back issue. And plus now his age, he took a little step back when it came to creating, you know, whiffs outside the zone and create chasing, you know, hitters to chase. So that worries me. I feel like we finally saw him step back a little bit, which isn't great. But it's funny, with Scherzer and the way he is and his mentality, I could also see him pushing one more Cy Young season out there. So it's tough. But I think he's more risky than Flaherty. Flaherty, I like. The slider's like is fantastic. Kind of like what you mentioned, I think COVID just absolutely ruined that entire team. And while I don't think Flaherty's fastball is as good as it was in 2019, I don't think it's as bad as it was in 2020 either. So I think the fastball is going to improve, and I think we see a Jack Flaherty who puts up a sub-3 ERA. So personally, I'm taking him over Scherzer just because I think he's less risky.
Yeah, you look at Flaherty through 40 innings last year. His K rates were still like the best K per nine he's had in his entire career. Walks were up a little bit, which could be just, you know, repetition or whatever you want to call it. The mess of what's going on. BABIP was a little higher, a few more home runs per nine. Left on base rate was a massive drop off. But like you both said, there's a lot to be concerned with. The fact the strikeouts are still there makes me like pretty optimistic that things were still looking good. And I could dig deeper, but I don't really feel like doing that on the podcast today because you're the starting pitcher expert. But
yeah, and one more thing on him too, which killed his numbers, is he had that one bad start. He had three innings, 9 earned runs. Take that away, and his ERA dropped dramatically.
Yeah, the great Bloom board that made so many of us go, I knew I was right.
Amazing. Amazing.
Like, it just was it all into perspective. He was like, oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
That's such a good one. And then he did the one where, okay, well, if you took away the one good start, here's what this guy did. Like, okay, that makes sense too. Yeah, let's talk about three guys that are going to be interesting because you have Blake Snell, pick 44, now in San Diego, where he says – he can throw as many as he wants. He said it very nicely to Tampa Bay that he's looking forward to playing for a team that lets him throw innings. Yeah. So you've got Blake Snell. You have Kent Maeda coming off an amazing season. But the way I look at Maeda, he's still a very good pitcher, but he ran pure, like really pure. He's at pick 45. Then you have Glass now, who I just stay away from because the stuff's elite. But until he gets control, I'm terrified of him at pick 47. So you have these three guys. How do you break them down?
Yeah, I mean, if I had to take one of them, this was the hardest one for me. I really struggled with this one big time. I'm going to lean Snell, although I'm not drafting any of them. I feel like I just am putting everyone away. I'm just going with Snell because, I mean, he's so good. His stuff's amazing. The curveball is ridiculous. He has the best north to south approach there is. We got the problem is we have some worries with the elbow the third time through the lineup, although I think we're blowing that a little bit out of proportion personally. So skill wise, I think Snell is the best, and I think that's why I would lean towards him. I do like Maeda. There are some things I saw that worried me a little bit. Like I've mentioned in the past, he leaves his slider over the zone a ridiculous amount more than anybody. I'm afraid that's going to catch up to him. And we did see it catch up to him in the second month a little bit based on, I think it was Wobakon. So plus we haven't seen him do a full entire season. So it's a little worrisome. And then Glasnow, two pitch pitcher, threw his fastball down the middle more than ever. Hitters were just sitting on the curveball. They were, you know, just waiting to hit the fastball. He's going to have those games where he gets you a ridiculous amount of strikeouts, but I'm afraid he is a 4 ERA pitcher. And until he brings in a third pitch and can prove that, you know, he could throw it, I'm staying away from him. So I'm going to lean Snell just based off skill set.
A few things here is I am 100% with you on Glasnow. It's like you watch his stuff and it's great, but the way he uses his stuff is very tilting. And I broke it. Like, I broke the percentages down in an article for Rotoballer a while back, and you've obviously done work looking into it as well. And like you said, that fastball, the way he uses it is just so annoying. And the curveball, if it's off a little bit, he's walking everybody. So yeah. it's like he bounces it up there. So his pitch count goes through the roof so fast, it's hard for him to get 5-6 innings most starts. So mm-hmm. that's very difficult. Maeda, I said, runs pure. It's not that he's a bad pitcher, but A, like you said, it kind of the second month you started seeing things get a little difficult. So how's the full yeah. season go? And he has maximized pitch count like so perfectly. That's hard to continue for a whole full 6 months. So there's my concern there. And Snell's interesting. Just looking at the ADP right here, he's gone as low as 57. And I said his ADP is 44. As low as 57, as high as 19 in the last month. So people, like, they either love him or they're just like, I'm out. So there's why I probably won't own any of these guys. But one thing I just want to ask you for fun here, since you mentioned Glasnow, and the ADP is way different on these two. Like, I'll have to look, but two-pitch pitcher really needs that third pitch. I got to scroll. There he is. Chris Paddock, pick 106, is a guy I was off of last year. I'm still off of him until I see that third pitch. Mm-hmm. Do you see, like, are they really similar to you, or is Glasnow still above Paddock? Would you rather take a chance on Paddock at 106? Like, how do you look at those two together?
I mean, if I had to pick the two and based off their ADP, I'd rather Paddock, but I don't think they're on the same level. I think Glasnow's fastball is much better because, you know, he's got that long extension and throw, you know, even though he throws it hard, it's the perceived velocity is even higher. So, you know, while he only has two pitches and yeah, he's got to work on the command, those two pitches I think are extraordinary. So, I'd rather Glasnow if you're like looking at them in a vacuum, but based on ADP, I'd rather Paddock.
Okay. Yeah. No, this, I'm with you. Glasnow is the better pitcher just looking at paper and everything, but the similarities kind of scare me. Like last year, I'd have to go back and look. They're probably getting drafted around the same time last year because they felt like the same pitcher almost.
Yeah. But, they were.
We saw some drop offs with Paddock this last
just a little.
This next one's entertaining to me because, yes, like Steady Eddie. Carlos Carrasco, pick 56. You know what you're going to get from him pretty much. Then you got the new toy, shiny new toy, and Corbin Burns at pick 59. And we know there's inning concerns with Corbin Burns. We know how electric he can be, but there's really should not be any inning concerns with Carrasco, and he goes to the National League. What's your thoughts on these two?
Yeah, I'm leaning Carrasco here. You know, I think this was a good landing spot for him because the Mets do like to let their pitchers go deep into games as well. So I think the innings are going to be there as long as he stays healthy, which, you know, is a big if for basically every pitcher. And Carrasco's always been great when he's on the mound. He can pitch and we all know that. So it's a no brainer for me. And that's just because do we see Corbin Burns go over 120 innings? I mean, likely not. And, That's scary, especially where he's going. You need someone who's going to give you innings. The strikeout rate is great, but the walk rate is still high as well. So, you know, we got to see if that low home run per nine sticks because that'll be really important for him. Because if it doesn't, then his ERA is definitely going to fluctuate. So, you know, while I think Burns is a phenomenal pitcher, it's just the innings. You know, you can't take someone that early. He's only going to go 120 innings.
Yes, I'm glad you said it because I'm echoing that, but you know, you are the pitching guy compared to me. So I'm glad someone else put it out there. It just I can't wrap my head around people that are in love with that pick. I just can't at any level. Because like and the thing is, like you said, is we're not arguing that he's not a good pitcher. It's just what you're getting at that point in the draft is pretty complicated to put out there. So I'm with you on Carrasco. I love Cookie. It's a great spot. Gonna throw innings, strikeouts are there. Like he checks all the boxes. I'm actually surprised I figured he'd be moving up more by now, but he just kind of hanging around. So cool with that. Very good for us. The next one's fun for me because you have Jose Berrios at 81. You have Kyle Hendricks at 82. People see Kyle Hendricks, the professor, the kind of nerdy white guy, and they're like, you know what? He's boring. But then you see Jose Berrios, and they're like, oh, well, he doesn't strike any guys out. Then you look at their stats, and they're almost the same pitcher. Like they're very close. So how do you differentiate between these two?
Yeah. I mean, for me, it's just track record. I got to lean Hendricks here. He's just ridiculously consistent. I mean, since he's come in the league in 2014, his worst ERA ever was a 3.95. That was the worst ever. And
it's pretty good.
Besides that, his second highest was 3.44. That's insane. Yeah, and, you know, I'm kind of like, I know Alex Fast released his top 100 pitchers, and I think he has Hendricks at like 20. And I'm like him. I have Hendricks so high because you know you're going to get the innings in a season where you have no idea what the hell is going to happen with most of these pitchers. You know you're going to get the elite ratios. You can make up for the strikeouts later. So it just makes a lot of sense. I mean, he's the most consistent pitcher out there. He's really crafty. He has really good tunneling ability. You know, provides a lot of deception with his pitches. And Berríos is fine. I think he gives you a solid floor as well. I think Hendricks is more of a sure thing than him, but otherwise they're very similar. And I think some people are still hoping that Berríos goes to another level, and I'm not quite sure he's ever going to get there because his breaking ball is amazing, but it can be a little inconsistent at times, and he's always kind of struggled with that. So I don't think he's ever going to – personally, I don't see him ever taking another step from where he is, but they both have really solid floors. I just prefer Hendricks.
Yeah, and that's why I kind of think similar is they're both solid floors. And the thing with Berríos that people don't pay attention to is he throws just as many innings almost, like pretty close. Like he's just an innings eater, and he accumulates, and that's what he does. I know what you're talking about, the people that are hoping he takes that next step, because when he was in AAA, before he came up, he had the nasty stuff. He's striking guys out, and next big thing, it's never panned out.
Yeah.
But I do believe there's a little bit there. I'm not thinking big step, but a little bit, because the velo ticked up a little bit last year. And that was interesting. But I think you've talked about it with some others. Was that because of the shortened season? They could do this? Like, what was the reasoning behind that? That'll be to be determined.
Yeah.
But I'm with you on Hendricks. I think it's very interesting. I don't know why I didn't notice it as well as you said it. The ERA thing, that's insane. So that's the consistency you love. But that's why I have both those guys ranked up high in my rankings. Like, I don't know if I'm 20th, but I'm close with Hendricks and Berríos, like right behind them for me, because I just – In a year where we're curious on innings, I trust those two are going to go until they're done type thing.
Definitely.
So I'm pretty confident in that. And that's a big – especially if you go, you know, two aces early or something, but one's kind of a volatile ace potentially, a Hendricks or a Berríos is huge. So
yeah. Like, or if you're a Burns lover and absolutely have to have them, then you have to have one of these guys. Have to.
100%. 100%. This next one's very intriguing to me. Three players, a couple young guys, and then Mr. Bundy, who a lot of people are big fans of. But you got Jesús Luzardo at 94, and the A's are saying he's pretty much good to go, and I'm still not 100% on board with that, but they're saying that. You got Ian Anderson at 97, phenomenal season last year, ended it really well. I'm still not completely sold. And then you have Dylan Bundy at pick 100. So they're all going about three picks apart from each other. We saw what Bundy did last year. How do you go about these three guys?
Yeah, I think you have to go with Bundy for this upcoming season. You know, he made the picks mix change that we all wanted. He went slider heavy, lowered that horrible fastball. And the only slight worry with him is the decrease in velocity, which, you know, if that keeps trending, it might make his fastball even worse, if that's possible. But I think this season you got to go with him just because, like we mentioned with Corbin Burns, Luzardo, you have no idea how many innings you're going to get out of him. You're probably figuring 120 to 130. But, I mean, skill set-wise, Luzardo blows the other two away, in my opinion. I think his stuff is insane. So much movement on all his pitches. It's just a matter of him getting the reps and getting in there. So I think 2022, he's going to be phenomenal, Luzardo. But for this upcoming season, I'd rather Bundy. I'm just like you with Ian Anderson. I think he's good. I think he's really good at inducing weak contact and, you know, what he tries to do. I don't think that changeup is as good as it was last year. So I think the strikeouts come down a little bit. I think he probably settles in the mid three range. And then him too. I mean, is he going to – how long is he going to be in AAA? Who the hell knows?
Yeah, Anderson's a tough one for me because even last year, if he had a bad start, it was really bad. It wasn't like a 6-inning 4-run where it's a quality start, close type thing. He got blown up, and that wasn't good. For Jesús Luzardo, his stuff is ridiculous. I've said it a long time. I saw him in one of his Stockton starts when he came to San Jose. And you could see it then. The kid was just ridiculous. How many innings would you need to be willing to take him at this point?
Where is he going?
He's going around pick 94.
I mean, I would need at least 150, 160.
Okay, because, like, you know, projection sites vary. We don't want to get into that discussion. That's been a fun one. But they're, like, they all of them pretty much roundabout way have them around 150. So if you if you had him at 150, by, or if he got to 150 by the end of the season, would you be happy with that pick?
Yes, I would, as long as he performs. But yeah, I would be okay with it. I better have other pitchers that I know are going to go deep.
You know? Better have drafted Kyle Hendricks the round before.
Yeah, I just don't see it, because, I mean, he's only gone, I'm looking right now, like the most he's gone is, what, 90 innings? Well, there's no way he jumps from 90 to 150.
I agree. Just this don't is
see
like,
it happening.
When he's the future of their staff, why risk it? And, you know, maybe the A's make a playoff run, but you want them in the playoffs, so they're going to baby the season even more. It's just – I'm with you. That's what I can count, and I've done the same thing where I see the innings he's thrown, and I'm like, you know, he's been injured so much and everything else. Why are you pushing this? Like, give him 120 maybe, and let's go to 2022 and see what's up. Like,
that's probably what will happen. Yeah,
yeah, I'm with you. Like, yeah, I'm confused. I think even Scott Jen is a diehard Ace fan. He's kind of in our boat as well. Like, they're not doing that. No. All right, Lance McCullers Jr. The dude can flip a curveball. There's no confusing that at all. But innings can be a concern this year. He's at pick 117. You have Pablo Lopez, who is going at pick 117 and a half, basically. You have Kevin Gausman at about 118. You have Charlie Morton at 119. And you have Joe Musgrove at 120. So I know it's five pitchers, but they're all pretty close, and they all have different little intricacies about them. Yeah. So, and like, you know, the Gausman Musgrove helium through the roof. Charlie Morton's like old and steady, but there's always injury concerns. Pablo Lopez, lots of fun. I know you're a fan. McCullers, I think, has a tremendous ceiling, just how far to go. So what do you do in this range, like, when you look at these five?
Yeah, this is a great group. Like you said, McCullers' curveball is insane, but I'm worried about the injuries. And plus, when he pitches, he tends to be erratic too. Mm-hmm. So I'm not fully sold on him. I'd like to see a full season from him to see what we really got and see if he could stay healthy. Gausman is interesting to me. I think the jump in velocity could be legit. But the splitter scares me. I mean, you know, if I've learned anything from listening to Nick Pollock, it's that splitters are extremely erratic and they don't typically perform for an entire season. So I don't know how long Gausman can, you know, be successful with a splitter basically his main pitch. I think he's going to have great months, and I think he's going to have months where he struggles with command. So he's a little worrisome to me. Pablo Lopez, I love. He's my boy. I think the changeup is elite. The four-seam sinker combo is great. Tunnels really well. Has that what looks like that seam-shifted weight to it. Plus, he's got the high ground ball rate with the high K rate, which I love in my pitchers. Morton, yeah, kind of like what you said, injury. Besides 2019, he's only put up over 160 innings twice in his entire career. So you're not really going to get innings there. I feel like I'd rather take upside around him. And then Musgrove, I mean, we all love Musgrove. He just hasn't done it yet for a full season. It looked like he was doing it last year, though. He started going to his breaking pitches more, which we really wanted from him. So I feel like he's heading that way. This is the last season for me, though. If he doesn't do it, I'm never looking at Musgrove again in my entire life.
Famous last words.
I mean, if I had to pick any of them and I'm drafting, I'm probably leaning Lopez. I'd probably go Lopez. People are going to hate me for this. Lopez, Musgrove, Gausman, Morton, McCullers.
Yeah, it's I bet you I could ask a dozen people and we get maybe five different, like, we probably have every different scenario on the board.
A lot of people love Gausman. A lot of people love him.
And you said what, like, I'm a Giants fan, like I said, and I've loved everything he's done, and I'm not drafting him at this point. And I've said it, the same stuff you've mentioned, but also, if I just want to keep it simple, he's a two-pitch pitcher. What have we said about two-pitch pitchers? Like, we've seen it with Gausman. If the splitter's not working, that fastball is very hittable. I don't care how much velocity he gained, he's going to get hit. So it's terrifying. I hope he does well. I really do. I'm just not taking him at that point. But usually I would have split this group up, but it's just kind of fun having them all together. Like, I love McCullers, but he terrifies me. Just terrifies me.
How happy are you as a Giants fan, by the way? It looks like they, like, know what they're doing with pitchers nowadays. I mean, with him, Smiley, you think they're going to – think they'll revive Wood and DeSclafani this year? What are you feeling?
I've been drafting DeSclafani everywhere.
Everywhere.
I think – well, because in the deep drafts where you can take him because he's basically free. But, you know, I want him in draft and holds. I'll start him at home if I have to, if not more often, because I believe you could see a Gossman-type thing. Maybe not to that level, obviously, but – I could definitely see him being a maybe low four ERA guy that's very formidable. Wood, I like, just can Wood stay healthy? That's always Wood's question. But I like the DeSclafani thing a lot. I love what the Giants are doing ever since they got Farhan there.
Interesting.
Yeah, hashtag and Farhan we trust. That's what I keep saying. Just keep doing, keep doing your thing. He built the Dodgers. That's what I keep telling myself. Just keep trusting him. But, it's going to be interesting to see. So DeSclo will be – a very rostered guy in my world, which could be good or bad. Could be good or bad. We'll see. The last one we have here has two more fish on it. That's for you, Rob Silver. Two more fish. We go with Sandy Alcantara at pick 137. You have Patrick Corbin at 139 and Sixto Sanchez at 140. So you mentioned Pablo Lopez earlier. Then you got his other teammates here that are good and bad in their own rights. You have Patrick Corbin, who used to be like a top, you know, 30 pick, 40 pick. We know what's happened there. So how do you break down these three?
Yeah, I like Alcantara. I mean, or Alcantara. I don't know, whatever it is. He put up 190 innings in 2019. He went to the power sink more last year, which we love. So I think he's doing the right things, trending the right way, can get you a ton of innings, which is great. Corbin's tough for me. I can buy into it, but I have to see what he does in the in spring training, because what happened was obviously his fastball dipped in velocity like big time. But if you look at his other seasons, he has been a slow starter. So like it takes him a little longer than others to get his velocity to where it needs to be. But the problem is last year it was lower than it ever has been. So I want to see if his velocity is back towards 90 in spring training. Then I would think maybe we could see another good season from Corbin, because the slider's great. It's too good. And if that fastball gets back to the velocity where it needs to be, it could be decent enough where he can have another great season. So if for him, it's a sit and watch what I see in spring training. Maybe I see what he does in the beginning of the year. If he's struggling, but the velocity is up, maybe I try and buy low a little bit. He's a little tough. Sixto, great stuff, great changeup. The strikeouts didn't really come, which was interesting. But again, another one, he's going to start in AAA. Who knows when he comes up? Who knows how many innings he gets? So, we've obviously been stressing innings a lot, and it's just because with these young guys, it's going to be tough. And the word around the league is that young pitchers, these organizations are going to baby this year, and those older veteran types, they're just going to let them go out there and pitch as much as they can. So it's more beneficial to get these guys who are going further into games and who are going to put up a lot of innings, because you're going to get those counting stats, which are extremely important. So in this grouping, let's assume Corbin doesn't really pick up the velocity. I'd be going with Alcantara.
Yeah, I'm with you on Alcantara, and I want to dig deeper on him, but the comparison I made that people might think I'm crazy for is he could be the next Kyle Hendricks to me. I don't know. That might be going too far, but a guy that's going to eat a ton of innings, similar strikeout rates, ratios, maybe not as good ERA-wise, but I think he's 25 years old, so I think there's some interesting facets there. We'll see. Could be really
talking about career. I can see it. I just don't think he has, obviously, as deep an arsenal.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely not that.
Yeah, so I think that's the line. I think he would need the slider to take a step forward for him to kind of be – that type of pitcher who can be solid year in and year out, you know?
And then I like to take on Corbin, because he's a guy that I see in drafts and I get kind of like torn. Cause even when he wasn't great, he still threw a ton of innings and got strikeouts. Yeah. And you're sitting there going, But last year was ugly. Like, there's no nice way to put it. It was bad. So it's like, but he's fallen so far. It's one of those that's one of those picks you can look at and go, okay, if this clicks, well, we just got like a gold mine at this point.
Yeah.
Which, right. you know, you go through the rounds and there's always guys you kind of think for the upside. Well, his upside's just like huge. And so it's kind of,
that's the guy where if he clicks, he can help you win an overall.
Exactly. Bingo. Yeah. And that's where it gets kind of like, what do I want to do today?
So tempting.
Yes. Very, very tempting. But we got a couple listener questions here for you. I believe it's one listener question, and we'll start with it's at Rob Wedig, RW. Who is your favorite all or nothing picks? Could finish top 50 or outside the top 200. We'll stick it to pitchers, obviously. But do you have a guy that you're thinking, like, you know, he's maybe going between 1 and 200. It's got top 50 upside. Who's a guy you got targeted there?
The first one that popped into my head is going really late. And I don't know about maybe top 50 pitcher. I don't know about overall. But that's Kikuchi. Mm-hmm. And that's just because the stuff is actually legitimately elite. It's just the command. I don't know what he could do to get it better. But I think if somehow he improves his command and they figure it out over there, I think he could explode. I think he could be over 30% strikeout rate pitcher and could put up a mid to low 3 ERA potentially. I think he's just one. He's one of those pitchers to me that is just so very close that if he just does one right thing, albeit it's kind of a big ask because, I mean, command is not, you know, easier said than done. But I think he's one late guy who could jump. If you want to go like a mid-tier guy, he's someone that I've been talking about so much this year, and that's Aaron Civale. I think he just, if he could command a sinker a little better, he's right there with the cutter, and maybe just rely on the breaking balls a little more, which is what the Indians do. I mean, you know, Savali's going to go deep into games. You know, he could easily put up 200 innings because of them. Well, 180 to 200. And, you know, they're going to tell him to start throwing the breaking balls even more. And I think that could, you know, he could be this year's Plesac. You know, he was essentially that for a month. But then he kind of faltered a little bit. And I think that was because of the command issue. So, you know, I think he's very close as well.
You said the magic word there. Plesac. while we're there, I'm not going to go down that rabbit hole. You're the Mets guy. You're one of the Mets guys, and
yes.
I've slowly learned over the years. There's a lot of Mets guys. Like at first, first Twitter was like Cardinals. But there's a lot of Mets guys. It seems you bring Stroman back. You get Carrasco. You get Lindor. There's been a bunch of moves for you guys. Actually, Trevor May is a sneaky bullpen acquisition.
Yep.
What are you thinking? What are your hopes? You're like, you know, Pacoa loves you guys. So what are you thinking?
Yeah, I mean, I thought our offense was great last year. It was really just pitching depth that we needed and a little bullpen help. We got the little bullpen help. I still don't know. I'm still a little afraid of our pitching depth. It's so risky. You know, Stroman's coming off not pitching a year. Carrasco still has, you know, injury risk to him. DeGrom has a little bit of injury risk to him now. Even if Syndergaard's back, you don't know what kind of Syndergaard you're going to get. And then after that, it's like, who are we going to go to? Yamamoto? He's not good. I mean, it sounds like Lucchesi's going to be in the rotation. That's not great. Pulling Lugo out of the bullpen didn't really help last year. So I'm just – I feel like they're going to be hit or miss again. And I feel like if we get hit with a slew of injuries in the rotation, we're just going to have the same season all over again, which is unfortunate. Yeah. I don't know if this is just me being pessimistic, which it very well could be, because, you know, while we have a new owner and everything's very exciting and we think that we're not going to be the same Mets, I still need to see us not be the same Mets. You know,
yeah.
I need to see us succeed and things actually work out for once. I'm hoping for playoffs. Obviously I think we are definitely a playoff team. It's just a matter of things kind of going the right way for us.
Well, hey, you signed Johnny VR, so things are going, no, I'm just
kidding. Yeah.
Super utility. Well, what if you had it your way, and because you've got your new ownership, like you said, they'll spend money. Do you want to see him make a trade because you got some extra bats? Do you want, like, is there a pitcher out? Like, what do you think they need to do?
I don't even know. I don't know what kind of pitcher they could get. I mean, it sounds like they hate JD Davis for some reason.
I know, it's crazy.
It's like they just want to get rid of him. I don't know what it is, but I'm sure if we get that feeling, all other teams do. So, like, they'll probably, you know, they won't be, you know, they'll probably make it tough for the Mets to deal him. I don't even know. I want to say Sonny Gray, but the problem is he didn't do so well in New York.
Yeah, he was not a big fan of that city.
Yeah, yeah. So I don't know. I would like one more depth piece. I don't know if you could trade JD in, like, you know, some kind of minor league or something to grab maybe a veteran. I would have liked a veteran pitcher. I would, you know, I would have honestly signed Odorizzi. That's fine. I'll take it.
Yeah. Yeah, like J.A. Happ would have been a good one, I think. Like,
yeah,
People hate J.A. Happ, but he's awesome. Like, yeah,
minor, I mean, I'm a J.A. Happ hater, but he wouldn't make sense for this team because he's that vet who can give you innings, you know, should stay healthy, and that's what we need right now. So, I mean, I really hope at least they sign Odorizzi. But, I mean, if they could trade for a pitcher who's actually, like, better than average, that'd be nice too.
Okay, so I think this is my last question, but just new ones keep popping up as we talk.
That's fine.
So I know everyone knows you are the Luis Castillo man. That's why the GIF was in the tweet. Like, it was, that's your guy, and I love him as well. There's a very good chance that either Gray or Castillo, maybe both, I doubt it, but one of the two is traded before the season starts. Hmm. Where besides, like, say, Colorado would make you get really worried about your Castillo shares?
I don't think anywhere.
Okay. That's called confidence, folks. That is called confidence.
Because you know what it is? The skill set's insane to me. But he can't go to a much worse defense than what he has right now.
Or ballpark, baby. So,
I mean, yeah. And I just it does worry me with him. I have him as my fourth pitcher on my rankings. But that's my only worry. It hurt him last year, and I'm afraid it's going to hold him back again because – he's a ground ball pitcher, so Sonny Gray, and that defense behind him is pretty brutal.
Really bad.
Yeah, so, I mean, hopefully, I remember I commented on someone, I was like, it won't matter when he pitches 32 perfect games, so. but, no, yeah, I mean, maybe he'll just have an immaculate inning, at one inning after the other, and that won't even matter.
Oh, that'd be awesome. If he can just control the walks, like, I've said it on this show.
I think that's by design, though. You know what I mean? Like, if you
look at all, to hit the ball.
Yeah, if you look at the Reds, well, not only that. I mean, if you look at the Reds pitching staff, they all do that. Mally's starting to go that way. Sonny Gray pitches that way. They don't give a shit. I don't care. I want you to chase my pitches, and eventually you will. And if you don't, the next guy will. So I'd rather walk you than throw it down the middle just to get a strike and you hit a home run off me. That's what they all seem to be doing, and I freaking love that approach.
Well, it's great for fantasy. Because you get all the strikeouts. But you could be 100% correct, because I'll never forget it. It was maybe 2019 now. When he was in San Francisco, I was watching the game at home. And I think he only went like six innings because his pitch count went through the roof. But he struck out like 14 Giants. And just watching that changeup dance and just everything he was doing, he walked like seven guys, but they were painting. So he was just missing. But he was just throwing changeups in the dirt, and they were chasing, looking foolish. And like, it was awesome. Yeah. I'm just there going, oh my goodness.
My favorite.
So that's where I fell in love with him. I was like, yeah, I understand everything Michael's saying. I understand it all because it's ridiculous when he's on.
Yeah.
But. But we'll wrap it up with that. It's always fun chatting with you. So why don't you plug away your draft kit and everything else going on?
Yeah, thanks for having me on, Bubba. You could check our website out, sbstreamer.com. Our draft kit, which is now out, is on there in the shop. As I mentioned earlier, we do have a podcast called SP Streamer Podcast with my wonderful co-host, Doug Ishikawa, who you can follow on Twitter at Coaching Ish. I always try and shout him out because he needs more followers.
Yes,
and
he does.
And we're starting to put some content out. You could also see I once a week about I write on Fangraphs as well. So we have a lot going on. And a lot of good stuff going on, and I cannot wait for this freaking season to start.
Yeah, it looks like you see all the trucks are leaving town, so it's happening, and all the tweets are coming out. But very true on Doug. Doug is one of the best. Like I told him on your guys' show, and I tell him a lot. His intros, some of the best in the game. Like, you just can't.
Not even that. I think even his transitions are even, like, a little underappreciated.
He's a pro.
So he just he. he does more work for podcasts than I do. I mean, yeah, I come in there prepared, but this guy writes, you got to see what he prepare. How he writes a novel to prepare. It's insane.
I believe it. So
it works. Yeah. He's great. Amazing. Yeah.
And then I want to give you a shout out also, because you said there's more and more content on your site. You're giving a lot of people chances that are putting out some awesome stuff. So it's good to see a lot of those new names that are going out there. So every time Michael tweets one of them, if I don't follow him, I follow him then. So you guys should be checking that out, because there's a lot of good people over there.
Yeah, I have to say it's mind blowing the people that are out there that just haven't, you know, stepped into it yet. Because I mean, these guys, some of these guys I'm bringing on, they're better. I think they're better than me. And it's just like, I don't understand where are you coming from? How are you not writing? I mean, one person that I hired, he didn't even have Twitter. He saw me on Reddit. Applied. His stuff is great. I hired him. I was like, you have to make a Twitter, because you know, sometimes people will comment and you gotta kind of like correspond with them. And so it's just funny that people come from nowhere, but it's good. I mean, you know, if you really want to do it, and if you're into it, and you know, this community is amazing, because everyone likes to give people chances and highlight them and just grow, you know, all together. So yeah, it's fantastic, that kind of stuff.
Yep, pretty cool to see. So everybody check out Michael again on Twitter at SP Streamer, which you should already know by now. And check out the draft kit, and I will tweet out, we will do a giveaway. So I'll tweet out something when this show comes out. So come check that out. But Michael, thanks for joining me once again. It's always a pleasure chatting with you.
Always. Thank you very much.
All right, everybody, this is Bench with Bubba, episode 339 with SP Streamer himself. Catch you guys later.
Life's better with an auto policy from American Family Insurance. No matter what dreams you're driving towards. That's because our expert agents will make you feel totally protected with the right auto coverage at the right price. You'll also save up to 23% when you bundle auto with home. American Family Insurance. Get a quote, find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.